There we go, there we go. So, before I start, Hank came here a number of Sundays ago and said his one and only son passed away. And I went to the service, and I bet you there was over 400 people there. And he has three grandchildren, his wife, and it would impress upon me, you know, times come in our life when there's great grief. And like he was crying and saying, Dad shouldn't have to bury his son. He was 51 years old. And you could sense that grief there. But I also sense that we have a God, Jesus Christ, and a Father that's acquainted with grief. And it seemed to me in the New Testament we find one of the things that Jesus stopped in his tracks was a sense when someone lost a loved one. And he engaged that situation and brought the woman with only a son back to life. And he intervened. Whatever we're going through, difficult times, remember there's a God that you know in his son Jesus Christ that is more than able to see you through it, right? And it's all good. It's, Judges chapter 21. Wow, you know what? There's so much there. And I just ask the Holy Spirit to help me highlight, because there's just so much there. So, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, take control of my mind and have your Spirit actively working in me right now to share just what your children need to hear. God so loves all of you. He so loves you so much. And just wants to feed your spirit with his truth. And may we experience that this morning. Chapter 21. It's been a real journey. It's been a journey through this chapter. And it's been a journey to understand what it means when there's no king and you do whatever you please. We have a king, and may he be fully in authority in our lives. Amen? Amen? So let's start the journey in that last chapter. The men of Israel had taken an oath at Mizpah, not one of us will give his daughter in marriage to those Benjamites. The people went to Bethel, and they sat before the Lord until evening, raising their voices and weeping bitterly. You know, and what we're going to pick little pieces in this message this morning is some just encouragement to us. One of the things that encouraging to me when I read this, and we all get to these places, don't make lasting promises in difficult times. You know, we have these moments when they said, you know, they are saying, we will not, it's our word, not, and the what we'll find out later is what they were saying was a total elimination of the tribe of Benjamin. And we'll find more about as we go through how important it is, even thousands of years later, even to this day, that the prophetic word over the Benjamites is intact. So the Lord God of Israel, they cried, why has this happened to Israel? Why should one of the tribes be missing it from Israel today? Early the next day, the people built an altar, and they presented a burnt offering and a fellowship offering. And the Israelites asked, who from all the tribes of Israel has failed to assemble before the Lord? for they had taken a solemn oath that anyone who failed to assemble before the Lord at Mizpah should be put to death. And we'll find out, we'll wait till later. But what really came to my mind when I was reading that and meditating over that as they were gathering together to implement the destruction of the Benjamite tribe. Second Corinthians 3:4-6 came to mind. Such confidence we have through Jesus Christ before God that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God, for He made us competent as ministers of a new covenant. There was a new covenant on the way. And He says, not the letter, but the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. These tribes were getting themselves in a bad position, because and their heart was right. They were trying to fulfill the law, but you know what? What was going in the place here, as they were saying, you know, this is the right thing to do. We're going to destroy the tribe of Benjamin and everything else. And it kind of sounds like a legal thing, you know? And yet Paul brings out in the New Covenant that when we focus on the legal, the law accompanies death. But when we focus on the Spirit, it gives life. And these are some of the mistakes they are making and some of the decisions they are making. But let's go on. Now Israel grieved for the tribe of Benjamin, their fellow Israelites. Today, one tribe is cut off from Israel, they said. How can we provide wives for those who are left, since we have taken an oath to the Lord not to give them any of our daughters in marriage? Then they asked, which one of the tribes of Israel failed to assemble before the Lord at Mizpah? They discovered that no one from Jerdes Galdi had come to the camp for the assembly. For when they counted the people and found that none of the people from Jabesh Gilead were there. Now they're back in this legal thing again. And now, to make things worse, that wipe out the Benjamite tribe, now it's even expanding to a worse condition. They were saying, hey, we're gonna come together, we're gonna gather, we're gonna consult the Lord and everything else, and we're not gonna give our daughters to the Benjamites and goodbye with them. But now whoever doesn't show up to the meeting, boy, am I glad we don't have a church. Like, if you don't show up on a Sunday, you die. So, but that's not grace. That's not what it is. So it says, now, it doesn't, I do some research. Who didn't show up? Who didn't show up at this meeting? The tribe of Manasseh didn't show up. And the region in that region was a tribe that did not show up. Manasseh, I checked out some of the geography here. Manasseh also is a tribe was really, really living kind of close by to the Benjamites. And for some reason, not told us by scripture, they didn't show up. So what do they have to do? Now they're bound by these oaths. They're bound by these promises. Again, Be careful about the promises you're making in difficult times. Just be careful. You know, think it through before you make some kind of crazy promise. God does expect us to keep our promises. So the assembly sent 12,000 fighting men with instructions to go to Jabesh Gilead and put the sword to those there, including the women and the children. "This is what you are to do," they said. "Kill every male, every woman who is not a virgin." They found among the people living in Jabesh Gilead 400 young women who had never slept with a man, and they took them to the camp at Shiloh in Canaan. So they followed through with their promises, but really was it the will of God was what they were doing, you know? But they followed through. Then the whole assembly sat and offered a peace offering to the Benjamin, to the rock at Rimba. So the Benjamites returned at that time and were given the women in Jabesh Gilead who had been spared, but there were not enough for all of them. And the people grieved for Benjamin, because the Lord had made a gap in the tribe of Israel. And the elders, some said, with the women of Benjamin destroyed, how shall we provide wives for them who are left? And the Benjamite survivors must be heirs, they said, so that the tribe of Benjamin will not be wiped out. Now they were figuring out a way to counter what they originally decided. And we're gonna find out, you know, I'm gonna get ahead of myself a little bit here, but what we do and what they did is try to find loopholes. Try to find some way around what they originally decided to do. Going on, "We can't give them our daughters as wives, since the Israelites have taken an oath." Problem. They're addressing their problem. They're saying, "We won't do this," and now they think they should do it. You ever been there? Yeah, I've been there. You know, in the New Covenant, it talks about when we approach God, approach Him with faith, and not to be double-minded. And now they got this dilemma going on, and they're trying to figure out, wait a minute, we made an oath to do this, but maybe it's not the right thing. And they added, "Curse be anyone who gives a wife to Benjamin," the Benjamites. Wow, that's how strong they felt about it. That if we do this and violate our oath, we'll be cursed. Don't like to be cursed. But look, there is an annual festival of the Lord in Shiloh, which lies north of Bethel, east of the road that goes from Bethel to Shechem, and south of Lebanon. So they instructed Benjamin, saying, "Go and hide in the vineyards and watch. When the young women of Shiloh come out in dancing, rush from the vineyards, and each of you seize one for your own wife. Then return to the land of Benjamin. When their fathers and brothers complain to us, we will say to them, do us a favor in helping them, because we did not get wives for them during the war. you will not be guilty for breaking the oath because you did not give your daughters to them. If I, now they're making excuses, all right? And don't we do that too? You know, it's we try to get around our promises, try to get around, find ways. You know, as I was studying this, I was saying, you know, how foolish I can get. How foolish I can get to try to zigzag around when my God, not only knows my heart, but knows the intent of my heart. And what am I trying to do? Trick God? And try to get his favor by not following through in what I promised him? Again, all of us, be careful about promises when you're in a tough situation. And if you do, maybe you repent of it. And the better thing is to follow through with your promise and keep true to your personal integrity before your God. So they use the word taken instead of given. Therefore, twisting the vow they made by creating a loophole. Manipulation. Especially you and I with our relationship with our Heavenly Father, stay away from manipulating. Just be truthful, honest. And if you and I make a mistake, if we made a careless promise, we have a God that is so loving and full of forgiveness. Just confess it. Just say, Lord, really, I did that in a moment of a hard time. Lord, I really meant well. I really did. But Lord, I really shouldn't have done that. Will you forgive me of that decision? I'll tell you something. Something about our God. He's full of loving and forgiveness. And he's full of compassion when we just get honest with him. Just get honest with him. And then because of Jesus, the just and right thing for him to do, if we say, I made that promise, I shouldn't have made that promise, he's just and right to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because one of the reasons why when we make a careless thing, we do something carelessly with our lips, our God wants you and me to walk in freedom, not bondage. His whole heart is for us to walk in freedom and not be tied down from some foolish thing we might say. Amen? So that what the Benjamites did while the young women were dancing, each man caught one and carried him off for his wife. Then they returned to their inheritance and rebuilt the towns and settled in them. I'm going to hold off on the other verse and go right into this drew my curiosity. Now, if we go back to Genesis and go back to these sons of Jacob, before Jacob died, and he just wanted to have a conversation with each one of his sons. And we're a church, we believe in the prophetic. And really, really early on, right in the book of Genesis, was prophetic words that a father had over his sons. I want to take a brief moment because it really meant a lot to me. This week I had lunch with somebody from the church. And in our conversations, as we were talking about, I was sharing about how important it was for me to spend time with one-on-one with my children. And as I was hearing from him about he was doing the same thing, I was so blessed at that luncheon to see the depth of a brother in Christ that I love and how he is actually similar to what Jacob did, speaking life in his children one by one. And that's exactly what Jacob did. He spent time with his children one by one and made declarations, prophetic declarations over their life, which would eventually become a tribe of Israel. So what about Benjamin? What about what Jacob spoke over Benjamin? And how can that connect with the God that we serve and how much he wants to speak life over our lives? How important it was that the tribe of Benjamin just didn't become annihilated. How important was it for that tribe to remain in existence? Even though they found loopholes and they tried to find ways to counter the promises they made and everything else, but one thing that the Israelites knew, they said they grieved over their decisions and their promises and their oaths, because they said how terrible, how awful it would be that the tribe of Benjamin would become no more. So now we have to look into what I feel, and I had to do some research on that. Thank the Lord for the ability today to research things. Why was it important that the tribe of Benjamin did not go in non-existence for us today as a church? Why? Some of the things that Jacob spoke over Benjamin and his generation and his tribe: strength and warfare. Strength and warfare. Jacob prophesied, and he talked to Benjamin. He said, "You will be a ravenous wolf." How does that apply to you and I today? That, you know what? One of the things is don't make any promises in difficult times, but become a warrior. Become a person that knows who you are in Jesus Christ. That you are more than a conqueror. That you've been assigned to be victorious, not a victim. Could that be part of why, a spiritual reason why Benjamin tribe could not fall into non-existence? Could that be for the church? And I know it's a little stretch, but it's a prophetic word to a whole peoples, not just one Benjamin, but all his ancestors. And we have a connection that has grafted in Gentiles into the vine that is Israel and the Jewish people. So I want to just say for it, I said, yes, we need to be strong and we need to be warriors, but not in our own strength, in who he is on our behalf. What else about Jacob and speaking life into Benjamin? Resilience and redemption. In Judges, we see this possibility of annihilation. And we see such a depravity that I don't even want to mention it. When we were around for chapter 19, what went on was disgusting. And what they did was disgusting. Even to a worldly mind, it might be disgusting. But Benjamin, the blessing over Benjamin, they survived. They survived. Their reliance and redemption highlighted God's sovereignty and, most of all, mercy. You know God's merciful over your life? You know, sometimes we make bad decisions. Sometimes we don't do the right thing. But we can cling to a God that's full of mercy. Full of mercy. That kind of, in Jacob's mind, defined his son Jacob. His son Benjamin. That he would have reliance and redemption. The other thing was, when the land was all being divided up, strategic importance and spiritual heritage. Located between the powerful tribes of Judah and Ephraim, including key cities like Jerusalem and Bethlehem. What's the importance of the Benjamites? Is actually, in a way, where they lived. And where they lived is where a Savior was going to be born. Where they lived, where a Savior was going to be crucified for our benefit, for the forgiveness of our sins, in a lasting relationship with our Heavenly Father. So not only were these other characteristics, it's where, when they finally settled in the land, is where they settled in the land. Two key places: Bethlehem, Jerusalem. Benjamites, God's choice despite their flaws. Their flaws, again, I'm not even going to spend time to mention them, were horrendous, awful, sinful. But their tribe was nearly destroyed as a testament of God's grace and sovereignty. What about the Benjamites? What about this redemption? What about this beautiful plan of God? As we know, going forward in the Old Testament, we hear in Judges over and over, they had no king, and they did whatever they wanted. All right? The first king of Israel, Saul, a Benjamite. And that king didn't work out very well. He was flawed. And yet God sustained the country and the tribes, and then we won't go into it, but along came David. But the first the first ever king chosen to lead Israel was Saul, a Benjamite, also flawed. Now, what about this redemption? What about redemption in biblical history? What about this redemption that we're talking about here in remembering the Benjamite tribe? And all, and when I was saying earlier, this goes all the way to today for us in the church to understand these things, what God is doing behind the scenes. Know the next person important that was a Benjamite? Want to guess? Anyone want to guess? I don't know. Don't really do, what?
Another soul. Paul.
Saul. Paul. Paul was a Benjamite. And he started out kind of in the wrong way to actually execute those who followed Jesus. But then he got knocked off his horse. He saw a light. He heard a voice. And transformation with redemption. All from the tribe of Benjamin. All from the tribe of Benjamin. So, what's that for you? What's that for me? What's that for you? What is that for me? That you know what? We may make wrong decisions. We may make wrong promises. But you know what? There's redemption for us in the blood of Jesus. There's an opportunity if we head off on the wrong road to get back on the right road and follow it all our heart and soul and mind. So, first King Saul, and then Paul, both tribe of Benjamin. That's what I'm trying to say, and what the Holy Spirit is trying to can tell me about is that the important, there is more important, there is a huge importance that the Benjamin tribe way back here in Judges did not get annihilated. Because the promises and the connections with them come all the way full circle to even us right now to this day. Transformation and renewed purpose, the Apostle Paul. It's an example of God's grace and the possibility for a new path despite past mistakes, despite the messes we get ourselves in. There's always, for you and I, a brand new day. Always a brand new day. I can't afford, you can't afford to put an anchor in our mess ups in the past. Cut the cord and live each day to the fullness of what God has for you. See, you know what? Our master enemy, the devil, he's really good at keeping the anchor intact with a word called condemnation. And our God in Romans, it says, now. That's a now moment, right now. For now, in Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation. Every day new. Every day new. A lasting legacy and the fulfillment in Christ. See, the tribes and their location and their historic territory all talk to us about the fulfillment of God sending Jesus in that territory, in that region where the Benjamites lived. So, in review, God wants to strengthen us. God wants us to be warriors. God wants us to be resilient. God wants us to know our strategic importance. God wants to show us his redeeming power to take us to new levels, no matter of what's flawed in our life. God wants to work transformation and give us daily a renewed purpose. God wants to develop in us a lasting legacy fulfilled in Christ. And I was kind of overwhelmed this morning, and when I saw this place, man, I say, you know, my heart, and I like to spend moments with these children. My heart, and I say, Lord, Father, give us a ministry to the coming up generation. Man, did you see how many of them were in here this morning? Wow, God's answered my prayers, and now I got to figure out, well, you know what? And it's not just me, guys. All of us cooperate in speaking life into these children that are in here. They are so loved by God. They are so in his focus. And man, we got more of them than us. And talk about, there's no lack of opportunity in this church to feed life and purpose in the children that are here. Remember, the children that are here, in Jesus' point of view, remember the episode in the Gospels? Oh, don't bother. Hey, parents, keep your children away. Our master, he's too busy. And that's one of the rebukes that Jesus gave to his closest followers. Don't hold back the children from coming to me. And he embraced them. Guys, you know what? We are our grandparents. We are our parents. And I'll tell you, this church, by God's grace, is full of children. And all of us can participate in encouraging them and lifting them up. Right? All of us. And Father God, in Jesus' name, just give the Holy Spirit in each and every one of us, just by looking at their faces, can see if they're carrying something. And connect with them and help them to get free from what they're carrying. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that you love these children. You love these children so deeply, Lord. Father God, that we all have an opportunity to speak life into these kids in this church. And we thank you for Priscilla and Agatha and Sophia and those that work in the church. We thank you, Lord, for these workers that are working them. But Father God, we're all workers. We're all workers, and we all take our opportunities to speak life into these children. They are so very, very important. In closing, we're going back to 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. And I want to let you know, this verse is right in here. This is right in here. You yourselves are our letters, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the results of our ministry, written not in ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tablets of stone, but tablets of human hearts. As one of the pastors, like my lunch I had this week, I am so blessed, so overflowed as we minister to you, you minister back as this beautiful novel being written in your lives. You know, that should be the heart of every pastor, to just pour into people and then seeing their book being written. And in closing, I got a little time, and you've heard this before, but one of the amazing dreams I had about my book, I was in a dream, all of a sudden this book came, and there used to be a program when I was young, This Is Your Life, and they if I was old enough, I might remember it. So this book said, This Is Your Life, Byron. And the Holy Spirit in the dream said, open it up, take a look at it. Take a look at all the pages. And look carefully at the pages. So I opened the book. I said, I'm kind of interested. I'll open it up. And I kind of turned to the page of the day I gave my life to Jesus. I said, wow, interesting. Then the Holy Spirit said, take a look at all the pages before. Byron, take a look at the pages before this. So I said, take a look. Going through the pages. I said, Lord, man. And I had a lot of them. Look at all these empty pages. Or paragraphs missing. Oh, yeah, Byron. That's when you just sinned and sinned big. And they're erased forever. And I was actually moved by that. I said, wow, God, you so did a perfect work in me. Actually gone. Then the Holy Spirit says, yeah, but the book's not finished yet. And I want to remind you that you will make mistakes. You will sin. But that provision is already there. So there'll be, going forward, some missing pages. But you know what? Holy Spirit said, Byron, cooperate with me, moving and working in your life. There'll be less missing pages. Because I'm calling you to just a whole new level of life where the stuff of the past will never resurrect again. And so my plan for your future novel is less missing pages, although they're already covered. They've already been paid for in advance in Jesus' name. So my heart as a pastor for all of you is I'll get a chance to spend time with you from time and time again. And you will clue me into this beautiful novel that he's making out of your life. Your life now, all about Jesus and all about reflecting on who he is and what he did in your behalf. Good? It's all good, isn't it? So that ends the last chapter of Judges. And I would be amiss not to say, because one of the things that Todd and I, as we've been going through, repeated over and over and over, over again in this book of the Bible, and they had no king, so they did whatever they wanted to do. You have a king. You have a king that you and I need to allow to lord over our life. To be the actual go-to person and the person that we go to in our weak moments for strength, that we go to our failures for forgiveness, go to for our sickness to be healed, go to our family issues to be resolved, go to when we're struggling with relationships to be healed. It's Jesus. It's Jesus that we go to. And we need to make him our king and not do life and do whatever we please, but choose to please him, our king. Worship leaders, come on up. Y'all blessed? Y'all blessed?